Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
All right, Rich Casanova here for the Buckhead Business Radio X. And actually, we have a special episode today. We have working title CEO Roundtable Radio, and we're live from the Buckhead Business Radio studio with this amazing view, million-dollar view of Buckhead. We just really enjoy having some folks in here and kind of telling the stories, getting the word out. And Atlanta's unabashedly pro-business radio. And so thanks for tuning in. And speaking of special guests, we have a couple of gentlemen here. And first up, I want to say hi to Sam Tandem. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Good, Rick. How about you?
Yeah, unbelievable. So we're going to introduce our guests in just a moment, but speaking of CEO Roundtable Radio, so you've actually been on Radio X a few times, right?
Yes. I've been, I wouldn't say regular, but quite often. I think this is my fourth or fifth time I've been here.
Yeah. But first time in our Buckhead studio, right?
Exactly.
Nice, nice.
And this, I love the view here.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Thank you. So we appreciate you. And we've met a couple of times, and then I know you've been at some of the live broadcasts.
Yes.
And as well as our flagship studio in Sandy Springs. But as we mentioned, first time here. But we also then reconnected recently at the Buckhead Business Association breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And that was the State of the Community address with the Honorable, what do we call him?
Honorable Mayor Sam Massell.
Yeah. And the de facto mayor of Buckhead. What do they call him?
De facto mayor of Buckhead.
That was quite a crowd.
Yeah.
He was a crowd puller.
Yeah. So it's always a great event. And so we were chatting just casually after the event. You mentioned you've been on Radio X. We're doing some spotlight episodes occasionally here from the studio. Mm-hmm. And with your background and your connections with CEO, that was kind of your in your wheelhouse, right?
That's right. We kind of got talking and I said, hey, why don't we have this show going on where CEOs could come and talk and, you know, we just don't have something dedicated to CEOs. So.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of CEOs, we're going to let's just kind of give you a formal introduction and then we'll get underway.
All right, good morning. It's my pleasure to introduce Sam Tandon. Sam is an entrepreneur at heart, CEO, investor, mentor, board advisor, and a certified leadership coach. He encourages out-of-the-box thinking and believes it's passionately chasing one's dream. Brings a global perspective, having traveled and done business in Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. In his prior life, Sam has over 30-plus years of entrepreneurial experience in four different industries: business intelligence, IT software, manufacturing, and global trade. Successfully took his own startup venture to an IPO and listing it as a public trading company. He's guest lectured at Emory, Gwazeta Business School, Executive MBA program, pursuing his efforts to giving back to the community, mentor startups and small businesses. Sam has been interviewed on Fox, CNT TV, and regularly appears on talk show Business Radio X.
Nice. We like that. I like that last part there. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, that was my radio voice. Yeah. Actually, that was a producer engineer, Ryan McPherson. Appreciate you doing that, being here, joining us today. And, so let's jump right into a little conversation. Well, first of all, let's just say hi to our guests here in the studio. So, Sam, who do you have joining us here in the studio?
We have Greg from Greg Medcap Davis, and we have Gordon from Gordon O'Neill Communications.
So, Greg, talk to us just for a second. So what will we be talking about today?
Well, I'm going to be talking about our firm and how we're holding up. We're a CPA firm, and we're knee-deep in helping our clients not avoiding income tax, but paying the right amount of income tax, and kind of be talking about balancing my work as president of the Buckhead Business Association, along with being managing director at Medcap Davis.
Yeah, because you were formerly in the studio on a show talking about the BBA as the incoming president.
About 3 weeks ago, yes.
And tis the season right now for y'all, right?
It is.
I mean, what, 16 days away?
16 days away. I saw a sign today when I was dropping off my laundry, 16 days to go.
But the true business professionals already got that taken care of way back in January or whatever, right?
Absolutely not. We're working
around the clock.
It's around the clock. It's a busy time for my staff. Yeah.
And speaking of that, we really appreciate being here today because I know it definitely is your running the midnight oil 24/7. So
it is.
And we'll be chatting with Greg here and continue that conversation. Also joining us in the studio, Gordon O'Neill. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So what's in your wheelhouse? What will be give us a couple of teasers here for our audience to stay tuned for? What will you be chatting about?
Well, first and foremost, the trends we're seeing in the marketing industry, what entrepreneurs should be looking at, listening to, particularly in the areas of brand management, website development, and what they really expect out of a website. And then our emphasis on strategic planning and how important it is to your effective marketing.
We've thought about doing an episode just for brand strategy, and you could do a whole series on just on that, right?
Absolutely. It's a very in-depth analysis that's required to really set a good brand strategy in place.
And right. And if you're a future host, raise your hand, yes or yes. Yeah, we'll talk after the show, yeah. All right. So gentlemen, thanks for being here in the studio. So let's move back to Sam, and let's delve into a little bit of what's an, you know, what you do on a regular basis. So talk to us about, you know, different industries and this idea of, you know, the travel you've done and the global. How does that kind of fit into your operations, I guess?
Well, I think it gives me a very good perspective as to what other people think. And I would say I've done MBA 25 to 30 years back. I just have to go back to the timeline to exactly figure out when. After that, after coming out of the MBA, when I went to the real world,
right?
Actually the real world of doing business, that's not how it works. So you got to start. I would say it gave me a good head start. It kind of 50% leg up over the others. But yes, I had to learn from the grassroots. And the more I travel, the more I got to learn. And it's not only when you say it's the business, it's the language that you got to learn.
And the culture.
Other culture. It's the business culture. It's,
right.
It's the way you communicate and you talk in different environments, in different countries. Each person has a different level of doing business. In some places, you might go and get a deal in the first shot.
Right.
Some other places, you have to go 3 or 4 times and meet that person again and again, just so that he builds trust with you.
Are there some cultures?
So it's those kind of different, you know, experiences that you come to know that, hey, globally, it's not the same way that is taught in the books.
Or from the Western civilization standpoint, right? If that can, we can sometimes come across as abrupt. So you do have to kind of know their style, their preference of doing business. Are there some countries or cultures that still, their whole premise is based on handshakes, and would they be offended by a formal contract, or most of them kind of up to?
Yes, there are. Definitely, really? There are. I mean, if you go to countries which are, I would say, in the eastern part, as you heard about the culture where you bow down and, you know, it's just kind of a mark of respect. It doesn't have to be that you are a higher power. It's just that you give respect because of age.
Right.
And maybe because of experience. So a person who's the chairman of a company and is younger, he might bow down to his manager who's actually older than him in his age.
Right.
So that's how it is.
Yeah, it's very different. And speaking of younger versus older, I know you work a lot in mentoring entrepreneurs and startups, and we're kind of pretty much in the epicenter in here in Buckhead with ATV and all the incubators. And,
I love it here.
Right? And Tag, I know you do some stuff with Tag.
With Ty, yes.
Yeah. So talk to us about that for Ty, and but just overall entrepreneur and startups.
I just love to kind of, it's been a kind of hobby for me. It's going on as a side passion. A lot of my friends and folks who I knew in my circle who were not into business before, when they saw me doing business and they became, you know, hey, I want to start a business. I've been in for 15 years, 20 years working for somebody else. I said, okay, I'll, whatever, you know, as a friend, I would teach them or just give them the guidelines, give them the right direction. Slowly, people started coming. I mean, half a dozen, one dozen. I said, hey, something's going on here. So I need to kind of make this a little bit more better for people to have a structured approach to it.
Right.
So that's how I got into it. And ever since then, people, I don't know if it's a knack or something, that maybe I volunteer my time more.
Right.
So they just come to me that, hey, can you help so-and-so? And we're starting up this new incubation program.
Right.
That's how it starts. And the last one, I think, remember, which we had on Radio X Live was the one that I mentored the team which won the international global competition.
Oh, wow.
Like a Shark Tank.
Okay.
So that was pretty exciting.
Where was that? Was that a Thai event that was in the studio or a broadcast?
That was in the global Thai competition.
Okay.
And that was held in Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
But it was live broadcast from here. So I think there were 700 participants from 23 cities participating. So it was, they were raising $4 million and they were, the sharks were, the financial venture capitalists were willing to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they were all college and high school kids.
That's crazy. I mean, I had a paper route as a kid. I thought it was pretty enterprising with that, right? I mean, times have changed, right? You know, I often say, you know, I would be further along if, you know, because they say, I think you'd agree, most, you hear these iconic stories, and a lot of them start in, what, garages or their basement. Uh-huh. It always, right. But my dad, all we had was a carport. I think that's why I never really took off my ideas. So anyway, but so talk to us finally about, you know, we met at a few times at a networking event. We talked about the BBA, but like connecting with people. Now you have, you know, face to face, and whether it's here domestically or internationally, it's probably different as well. But now we have this worldwide community of connection.
Absolutely.
Right. Through the internet and all of its channels and platforms. But so tie that in with that conversation along with, you know, motivating and inspiring people. Have you had some pointers or some tips to leave with either the veteran or the novice business person? What are some takeaways in terms of networking ideas and things to keep them motivated or moving forward?
Sure. Love to, because that's what I'm here for, sharing my experiences.
Right.
I appreciate asking me that question. Now, the thing was that I started looking at out-of-the-box thinking is what I'm kind of creative in. Started off my first business and was always looking for something. Hey, if this kind of industry has always been around for the last 25, 30 years, what else and where else can I take it to the next, to something which has not been tried before? So let's take the traditional textile industry where I started my first business with the manufacturing was into everybody just had the same model of wholesalers and distributors and all that. I kind of stepped out and took it to the ready-made industry, the garment industry. And so I was one of the few manufacturers who was supplying directly to the garment manufacturers. So there was no middleman. There was no wholesaler, distributor involved. I would directly get a feel because fashion industry is a very, very short-lived industry. So trends trend in 3 to 6 months. So by the time if I was in a traditional business, I would never have got or my products would have been too stale or too late to come to the garment industry if I had not been having a direct approach. So that's just a simple way of giving an example. Similarly, when I go to Emory to give lectures and I say, you know what, scalability, you got to think outside. America is a big market, but you know what? You can do 4 or 5 times more business going global. And people want to do that, but they don't know how to do that.
Right.
So that's where I come and teach them or help them.
It's interesting. I hadn't thought about the correlation. I just made a note to myself. I don't know if this makes sense just to me or maybe anybody else in the room. But that idea of fashion is very fast forwarding. It's it's very changing, much like the tech industry, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's every day there's something new and you got to stay. So it's almost like, you know, they talk about textiles or but what about tech? Tectiles, right? Tectiles.
Nice word.
Tectiles because...
Just invented a new word.
Because you don't think of like... textiles is very high tech, but fashion is. If that's if that's, you know, your arena, there's cutting edge, you know, as the... I mean, for me, if I get my clothes at JCPenney, I don't think of that. But for most people in that industry,
I would add to what you just said because tectiles is actually the real word.
Okay. Yeah.
Not just what you made it up. Actually, there is, going back, if you wanted to make it into a real world, it would be because the first computer was 1010 is how the binary code is. That's my, my signature.
Yeah, talk to us about that. Yeah, 1010LC, right? That's what comes back to, yeah.
So it was actually the first computer was used in the textile industry.
Okay.
It's the Dobby cards.
Right.
The cards which write your name or which do the design back and forth, making checks, you know, there is a pattern which goes up and down.
Right.
The weave and the weft, that the warp and the weft, as they call it. So that was controlled by a simple pin, drop, and print. You know, there was basically a box which used to do that. And that is how there was a punch card, which was punched in and sent in, much like the ballot punches that you had in Florida.
Well, let's not get into that, but yeah. Meanwhile, Chad's not here or whatever, yeah.
So I'm just kind of correlating how old computers are if you go back to
And that
textiles.
Revolutionized that entire industry. Prior to that, it was just kind of all hand done by hand.
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we jump into our other guests, which we'll also invite our other guests to let our listeners the best way to find out about your products and services, your website, whatever. So Sam, what's a way for folks listening to tune in and find out and read reach you? Phone number, website, LinkedIn, home
LinkedIn.
Address.
Yeah, go to my LinkedIn, okay. samtandon@linkedin.com. That's it, basically.
And that's Sam, T-A-N, as in Nancy,
correct.
D-O-N, yeah.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thanks for being on the show, and obviously you're going to be continuing the conversation with your other folks in the studio. So let's find out a little bit more about Gordon joining us here in the studio.
All right. We'd like to remind our listeners you're listening to a special episode of CEO Roundtable here on Buckhead Business Radio X. And our next guest is Mr. Gordon O'Neill. He began his career in bank marketing with SunTrust Banks of Florida, now SunTrust. Moved to Atlanta in the 1980s and went to work for Dick Yarbrough at Bowes Hanlon Yarbrough Public Relations. He launched O'Neill Communications in 1987 to provide marketing and creative services for small to mid-range businesses and organizations. Some notable clients include Nano Lumens, Malign Fruit Products in the state of Washington, both the state of North Carolina and the state of Georgia, Habitat for Humanity, and Mile High Ingredients in Colorado. He has specialized in expertise in brand development and strategic planning and a wide variety of experience in the food, technology, association, and governmental agency segments. Welcome, Mr. Gordon O'Neill.
Oh, man, one day when I grow up, I'm going to have that voice, yeah. Thanks again, Ryan. All right, so Sam, talk to us. Gordon, let's find out what his story is, yeah.
Hi, Gordon. So we've known each other for a few years now.
Absolutely.
It's been great knowing you.
Absolutely.
And I thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come and attend this great show.
Happy to be here.
Sure. Tell us a little bit more about the title itself is quite curious. Chief Integration Officer, what does that mean?
Well, I think in today's environment, you've got to integrate your brand into the digital world. It used to be you thought a brand as a logo and mm-hmm. business, a letterhead and a business mm-hmm. card and those types of things. But today's brand is about messaging, how you drive it primarily through the internet and other media, such as radio and traditional medias. And so you've got to truly integrate what the core driving force behind your brand is into all of these different strategies. And so
awesome.
It can be very complex.
Yes, it is complex. I can figure that out. The way you're trying to explain it made it look simple. I know that.
Right.
Okay, branding and brand management, when it comes to that word, and small business, how do they correlate? How would you say for a small business, can they afford it?
Well, they've got to. I mean, they've got to be able to differentiate themselves. So, you know, why should you do business with my company?
Absolutely.
Why should you depend on Sam or mm-hmm. somebody for whatever services mm-hmm. they're providing? And so much of that is just defining why you are in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in business today just for the potential profit or whatever is not enough. You need to talk about your social conscience. You need to talk about how you're trying to really change the markets you serve and those types of things.
Good. So, you know, everything is social media nowadays. So websites, the first thing that comes to mind. What would you say? How important are they? Or have they ridden the wave now they're on the down or what?
I don't think they're on their way down. You've got you can actually sell things through a website, and that's, you know, very, very common. We've built a number of e-commerce sites,
yeah.
But we find a lot of our clients are on the traditional sales sites.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the website today either serves the purpose of building community around it. So when we talk about the work that we're doing for the state of Georgia and the state of North Carolina, it's trying to build community around a website. So if you're trying to serve all the people of Georgia, you need a community center where they all turn and
right.
look to for information and direction. And
mm-hmm.
so you can have a website to do that. You can have a website as an e-commerce site where you're trying to sell a product. And you can just do a simple one where basically it's a brochure. Here's what we do and how we do it.
What would you say for a startup? Where would he invest in basically spending too much on the website designing or just put up a small link or...
Well, first, go to your, you're on LinkedIn. You mentioned LinkedIn.
Right.
Facebook. A lot of people are using Facebook first before they go and start developing a major website. And so those are less expensive alternatives,
uh-huh.
faster to implement, those types of things. And so they would look there first. Your first website should be probably relatively simple.
Okay.
But again, it's about differentiating yourself, clearly stating your purpose, why you're in business,
right,
why somebody ought to be doing business with you or investing in your company or whatever it is you're trying to achieve.
Would blogs also be any way helping you or creating awareness or something? What do you feel?
Blogs are a great opportunity to position yourself as a thought leader. So if you're trying to launch a company with a very specific idea in mind, then you need to be a thought leader and you need to promote that thinking. And blogs are excellent for that. And so you're looking to be consistent with your brand, with your blog strategies. And it also continues to provide, if you're doing it, it takes discipline, fresh content. And so Google and all the search engines reward you for maintaining fresh content.
Wow.
The website that isn't ever updated and those types of things, they don't perform as well in a Google search as one that's being blogged and being updated all the time or regularly.
That's a good tip you gave. Okay, that's nice to know.
Yep.
And what about typical business owner, the marketing trends and all that? Does he get a feedback from the websites or is it just passive?
Oh, absolutely not. I think today, and the biggest trend is you can just about measure everything that you're doing. And so if you say to me, I need a campaign to achieve this, we will develop the strategy, but we can walk in Monday morning and say, we launched the campaign on Thursday. Did it work to our expectations? What do we need to change to improve performance and those types of things? And so today, you know, it's very flexible. What's not working on Friday can be working, changed, and back out in the marketplace on Monday.
That is awesome. Yeah. Okay, that's powerful, actually. Never give it a thought that from that angle.
Oh, absolutely.
That's good. So what about strategic planning when you just mentioned earlier? What would you kind of, you know, tell us a little bit more on how would you approach that for?
Well, it goes back to brand. So you have to define your messages and you have to define your points of differentiation. And mostly it takes a little bit of study. You've got to study your competition. You've got to study your position in the marketplace that you're in. Are you a leader? Are you a low-cost provider? Or, you know, what niche are you trying to get into? And where's your competition? And then how can you really define and drive that home? So the strategic planning option is once you've got the brand, then how do I drive it into the marketplace on a cost-effective basis that will provide me a return on investment?
Oh.
And so all of the options, everybody's got an idea of what you ought to do.
Right.
And people will come in and try and sell you things. They're trying to sell you things.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do in strategic planning is decide what will work best for you and your company and provide the results you're after.
Great. Awesome. So let's move on to, if you don't mind, I could move on to Greg or Rick would like to talk.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. We'll just do that open panel discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
So, let's check in with Greg, our next guest. And Ryan, take it away.
All right. Welcome to the studio once again, Mr. Gregory T. Davis. He is a native of Atlanta, Georgia. Greg has always been actively involved in many aspects professionally and personally with the city. After graduating from the Georgia Institute of Technology, he worked in the industry for 2 years before joining a local accounting firm in rural Kansas, where he rose from staff accountant to partner in only 6 years. In 1989, he moved back to Atlanta and joined the firm as a senior audit manager, and within a year was promoted to partner. He soon teamed with founder Buddy Metcalf and became named a partner of the firm known today as Metcalf Davis. Together with the rest of the partners of the firm, this winning team has grown to be recognized as one of Atlanta's premier full-service accounting firms. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks. It's great to be here once again.
Yeah, I know. Welcome back. Deja vu, right? Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
yes.
Nice. So I know Sam has some questions here for you, so I'll just let Sam take it away.
Okay, tell me a little bit, Greg, great to have you back here, and appreciate your taking time off from this busy season. I know how busy it is. Basically, even I have to send my taxes, I know, to my CPA, and we were doing that
send them to us. We'll
there you go. You got plenty of
time. We're always looking for new business.
Yeah, how many hours in 16 days times 24? You got plenty of time.
Absolutely. That's what I was doing on the weekend, to be honest.
There you go.
Collecting all my documents and putting them together. Anyway. So let's get back to you and just a little bit of history about and mission and culture of Metcalf Davis, if you don't mind.
Well, our founder, as I said, Buddy Metcalf, founded our firm in 1978. It started out with really with a contract from the federal government to do Indian tribe audits, and we have a rich history of working in the governmental sector. But over the years, we've evolved into what I consider to be a boutique CPA firm, but with four or five specialty areas that we do very well. I'm joined by four other equity partners and a couple of other senior management people and a great team.
Yeah, I've seen your office. It's awesome. I know how dynamic it is. I appreciate that. And I heard you talk about the Indian tribes. That's something unique. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Well, CPA firm.
Well, I must say I don't know that much about it because it was before we had evolved. By the time I joined the firm in 1990 or 1989, we were just kind of winding that down. But we did a lot of work for the FDIC and the RTC. In unfortunately shutting down the dealing with the financial institution crisis, and I dealt a lot with that.
Okay. Apart from that, what kind of other clients do you serve?
Well, I work primarily in our what I call our individual and small business sector, and also in our real estate sector. We have a variety of small business clients, which is what we're spending most of our time on this year, are individuals and small businesses. We also have a very large not-for-profit sector. One of my partners, formerly with one of the big four firms, joined us. He deals with educational institutions, higher education, private schools, specialty school areas in our not-for-profit area.
That's great. I think you're one of the non-traditional CPA firms that I've come across.
We are. We don't try to be everything for all people, but what we do, we try to do a very good job with.
That's awesome. I like that. And just, coming back to this hot 15-day time window that you have now in front of you. So how are you holding up? How's your stuff? Is it burning the midnight oil, or
is there a lot of drinking involved? Or
there's a lot of Red Bull. I noticed going on.
A little Red Bull in your coffee. Yeah, that's cool.
But one of the things that we pride ourselves is offering a balanced lifestyle between our staff and our staff works hard, but we also we're not a 70-hour, 80-hour type firm. Most of our people are working this time of year 55 to 60 hours a year, but pretty much after April 15th, we're 40 to 45-hour a year firm, and it seems to attract staff that stay with us for a long period of time.
Yes, I do agree. And absolutely. I met a few of your staff people, and they all have high praises for you. So I would give you a vote on that.
Thank you.
Great. And coming to another place where we quite often meet is you are the president of Buckhead Business Association.
I am.
So how do you balance this?
A little more excitement, Greg, when you say that. Yeah.
Well, I look at serving with the Buckhead Business Association is kind of a combination of my role is I spend a lot of my time marketing for the firm. We believe in giving back to the community. We participate in a lot of community activities as a firm, but it's a pleasure to serve this year. Buckhead Business Association has a rich tradition here in Buckhead. We've been around since 1951.
Wow.
We currently have close to 300 individual members and a little over 200 businesses are represented through Buckhead Business Association.
Yeah, just to say and add to that, I think you really have a very selected Is it an invitation only Buckhead Business Association?
We invite most people who are doing business in Buckhead, serving the Buckhead community, living in Buckhead but working outside. It's a business friendly atmosphere in our association.
And it includes free breakfast, right?
There's not free breakfast. It's a part of your membership.
Easy there, Sam. Yeah.
It is not free. But our breakfast
nominal fee.
It's a bargain is what we like to say. But we meet the first, second, and fourth Thursdays of each month, and then we have a social at one of the premier restaurants here in the Buckhead area on that third Thursday that seems to attract a different group of people that come to our breakfast meetings.
I would say the same thing. I was just going to add to that. The people that I've met in the social hours, you know, and the ones that I meet in the Buckhead business, they're two different groups there, kind of. How does that work out?
We generally have some people that one thing about the organization, there's no mandatory meetings, but we found that the people who are involved in some of our activities, whether it's working working on the best the best of Buckhead or some of our events, they stay active and stay members at a longer period of time.
Good.
I think the maybe the difference is that you have the BBA for the breakfast, which we can see right out here at the window, right?
Right.
It's a city club right there in Buckhead. It's pretty cool. But then you have the BBA, then you have the BBAA, which is the after hours, right?
I love that.
That's correct.
A little different crowd, yeah. Okay, I do have a couple of questions here.
Sure.
Well, first, before we jump into our open panel, let's just remind our listeners, and we'll ask Greg and Gordon also to tell us the best way to get in touch with you and find out about your services. So, Greg?
Well, www.metcalf-davis.com is our webpage. I'm also on LinkedIn, Gregory T. Davis, CPA, Atlanta, Georgia, and you'll come up with me.
Okay, and we'll post that on the website as well.
Yep.
And Gordon?
And we're on www.o'neillcommunications.com. No apostrophe in there, please.
You'll have difficulty. Google doesn't allow that? About punctuation.
I will say that an apostrophe in your name is not a good thing in the computer age. But anyway.
We have it up on our whiteboard. It works up there or whatever. Yeah, other than
exactly.
that. Yeah.
And also on LinkedIn, you'll find me there.
Okay, cool. So, Sam, I got a couple of follow-up questions here for our guests.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to jump back to Gordon here. So your percentage of your day-to-day activities or your clients, what percentage of how would you break down your percentage of, in terms of marketing versus communications versus consulting? Or, where do you kind of spend your time?
Most of my time is spent in the brand development phase and in the strategic planning phase.
Okay.
And what we try and do, and that's where that senior expertise comes in, and then we end up with a action plan that my staff can certainly work with our client to implement. So kind of goes from that strategic thinking and brand strategy on into implementation. And so you'll find me in those two areas.
Okay. And then what about challenges with your business as well as maybe with some of your clients? What typically comes across your table as a challenge in both of those areas?
Growth. I think since 2008 and the recession that we've experienced and those types of things, everybody that I talk to talks about getting back to 08 volume and those types of things. And so I think all of them are very interested in good strategic growth today. And it's difficult to really, I used to put it together 40% growth years and things like that. That's very difficult to do now.
Bring them back.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think that it's like hesitation or they're just a little gun shy, or what do you attribute that to or is it just more difficult? I'm just trying to,
I think there's been a lack of trust and confidence in perhaps our national thinking.
Right.
And I think the last election cycle might have reversed that to some degree. The bright spot, though, has got to be the entrepreneurial spirit that's bubbling up from all around you, from every age group, but particularly the young people.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. couple other questions, but let me jump over to Greg here. And so you mentioned four areas of specialty with your firm. What,
yes.
What are those?
Well, real estate is a big area that we deal with. We have a pretty good size international tax and business where we're serving clients that generally they're foreign companies doing business in the United States, and we do a good bit of business with that. And then, as I said, the education and not-for-profit area is another third area, and then, of course, a variety of individual and private businesses. You mentioned entrepreneurial businesses. That's the bread and butter of our business, and as it is the economy as a whole.
Yeah, I want to talk about the small business play there, but I didn't realize your connection with the international business and trade. Now I feel like I'm pitching all these shows, but we were just taking it from a creative standpoint. But we love this idea of the spotlight or special or dedicated episodes. And so there's been some interest from the, speaking of the City Club, that's where the new World Trade Center Atlanta is now housed at, right?
That's right.
And I had a conversation with Jim. Who's the gentleman over there? One of the
Jim
guys.
Jim Munson. Actually, I'm a member of the World Trade Center.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, here we go. Sorry, Greg. I'm gonna switch over to this guy right here. Yeah. But yeah, we should talk to Jim and some folks over there. We talked about international trade radio.
Right.
I mean, there's at least 38 international chambers of commerce here, and it housed right here in Atlanta.
Uh huh.
And you have right across out the window, we have the French consulate. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's make it happen, Sam. Come on.
Right. Yeah. We can definitely have a pilot on that. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So.
I love that. Make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. That change, Ryan, write our change our board up there. Make it happen, radio. Yeah, I like that. So, this nonprofits. How much y'all? How much of your time?
Well,
not your, because your personal time is more dedicated to the small business entrepreneur.
It is. I spend about 50% of my time serving clients, primarily in small business area. But I do a little bit of work. I'm an auditor by trade, and so of my what I call my chargeable time, probably 15% of it is in the not-for-profit and or governmental area, and the rest of it is in the commercial area. You know, the rest of my time is spent managing the firm and doing things like this, marketing the firm.
There you go. Exactly. Nice, nice.
Right.
So we're going to allow just a minute or two. So I see some notes have been taken, so feel free to kind of jump in and cross ask some questions amongst the panel here. But closing, I guess, a question or thought is any events coming up for either one of y'all in terms of business or community projects that you want to kind of get the word out on? Some golf tournaments or for the BBA or for? Yeah.
Well, our firm participates with the Arthritis Foundation walk that happens. Yeah, I believe the 1st of May, and we have special events. We do. Fundraising. The last couple of years, we've given close to $5,000 as a firm through our individuals and through the projects that we've run. So that's one of the things that we're having a post busy season, post April 15th
nice.
Bowling outing, which is kind of fun for the group, but also raises some money for Arthritis Foundation.
Nice, nice. Gentlemen, any of the other events coming up we should be aware of? Or?
Well, I'll be speaking at the Commerce Club this Friday on branding, and so we think that's pretty exciting. Also going to Washington to speak to the National Association of Developmental Disability Councils on marketing and building community around their websites and those types of things. I'll be up there on the 12th for that. And Ty will have a golf tournament in September, and haven't set the date, but we're going to have to promote
and
that.
Just to add to that, Gordon is a sponsor and very active in a lot of Chamber of Commerce is in Ty, too.
Ty especially out in Cobb County, Cobb County's Chamber and Metro Atlanta Chambers.
Right. I'm playing in some golf tournaments for some of our clients coming up pretty soon.
You're pretty scratch golfers, gentlemen, or
not me.
I used to be, but not anymore.
I played with Gordon, and I was a little bit out of touch. I said, "Hey, you know what? I think I'm out of league here."
My favorite is best ball. Whatever year, you're guaranteed a trophy. Yeah,
there you
get
go.
The right partner on board. Yeah. So, any other closing? Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, just wanted to ask Gordon, so how does your family and you feel like over the years, have you been able to, you know, blend this work and your personal life traveling and all that? What do you say?
Well, my wife's been my partner in the business since we started it. Uh-huh. And so, but it really has afforded me the opportunity to serve on the Cobb County Board of Education for two terms. I watched my kids grow up. My daughter said to me, she's in her 30s now, "Dad, you were always at my softball games. You were always awesome. At this." And yeah. So it really afforded us those types of things. And I ran into a CPA early on that said to me, "You know, you got to pay yourself first."
Uh-huh.
And what he was saying is you got to start back then putting into your IRAs. And right. Then I started the 401ks and those types of things. And so our business has really secured our future as well.
Great. I think that's a very good way to go.
Yeah.
What about you, Greg?
Well, I think just balancing everything in life. My kids are grown now. I participated with them, coached my boys' baseball team for until they were in high school.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I one of the things I prided myself on. I was working a job in Boston years ago and flew back from Boston to be for my daughter's piano recital and also
wow.
a dance recital. And it was just something I did at the time, but I found out over the years how important that is in spending time with
right.
your kids as they're growing up. You can't go back to that.
There's no
time.
Do-overs.
You see,
that
there's
is
no,
great.
No do-overs. And so I'm fortunate that I've got great kids and been able to do that.
That's
and a
great.
Wife that supported me in my business for many years to afford me that time.
That is great. That's what the human side I wanted to bring out.
It is.
nice. So maybe kind of here's an open question for all the gentlemen here. And let's talk maybe third and fourth quarter. What do you all have on the horizon? Some goals? I know we'll talk about the firm, Greg, as far as, and also the, because I know you're wearing at least two hats here in the BBA as well. But maybe what's on the horizon or what's some goals or what y'all would like to achieve? Go ahead.
Well,
Gordon?
Going back to the entrepreneurial spirit and what we see bubbling up around us, we really are seeing a very good growth period.
Right.
A lot more excitement in the marketplaces and a lot more going on. People are feeling more confident that they can make investments, that they can start launching new products, and that's when we come into play. So we're very, very bullish on the next quarter or two, and I think this could be our big breakout year. We might get to that 40% growth finally.
Nice,
we don't know. We don't know.
But you'll even settle for 39 and a half.
Oh,
right?
Yes, sir, we would. Yes, that would be very nice.
What about you, Greg?
Well, our business has been, unfortunately, been flat for several years, but we've seen a little bit of growth the last couple of years. There's some new opportunities. This past year, working our tax department has been in our real estate focus. Implementing these property regulations of, I don't know a lot of the detail of it, but have offered some tremendous opportunities and a lot of work for CPA firms to properly implement those new IRS property regulations.
Good. Just for
yourself,
sake,
Sam. Yeah.
Yes, I would say I've seen that quite common, as everybody has said the same trend here about growth. And I somehow have a little bit of a more different approach to it, in the sense that I don't consider a recession as one of those things that would stop you from growing. In fact, out of the four industries, two of my industries I started in a recession. And the one that I took to an IPO was started in a recession.
Wow.
So it's basically thinking outside the box. And you are the only person holding yourself back. That's what I found.
and pushing yourself forward. You're both holding yourself back and responsible for pushing yourself
exactly.
forward.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what I, as you know, I'm a certified leadership coach, which I got myself certified because whatever I do, I want to do it in a proper structured manner. And when I realized that, you know what, people have ideas, but they don't know how to put it or implement them, that's where I come and tell them or coach them, hey, you know, this is how you got to think about. Planning is not just going from point A to Z. You have to kind of go A, B, C, D, step by step. Don't try to jump from A to F or to,
right.
you know, G or something. You might end up not covering your tracks properly, and that might come back to hurt you. So that is exactly what I would say. And other part is, right now I'm a management consulting with companies which are, anywhere from the 10, 20 million bracket to 50 million bracket, million dollars, in the sense that, hey, last 5 years we are stagnant. What do we do?
Right.
Take yourself out of that position. Mm-hmm. That is, when I say that, it's the CEO. Take yourself out of being a CEO. Give it and, bring in more professional approach. Bring in more people who are delegate to others, which nobody wants to let go once they have that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
That's the biggest key which I've come across. And it's very difficult to say to somebody in the face.
You kind of have to do that. Take the next level. I did have a quick question for Greg. You talked about small, that's your wheelhouse, the small business entrepreneurs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you define? I don't know. There's not a clear definition, but small business in terms of, for your purposes, employee numbers, revenue numbers. Give us some perspective of, if I'm listening, and do I fall in that profile, if you will, or ballpark?
Well, I think the, I heard another CPA talk about they serve clients from cradle to the grave.
Right.
And right. I think,
that's like stalking to me. I don't want you with me that long.
I'm not sure I totally agree with that.
Right.
But we do like clients that are wanting to grow both in numbers. But our wheelhouse are business clients in the $5 million to up to $50 million.
Okay.
In from a revenue standpoint,
right.
Parts of our business, as far as employees, anywhere from two or three to up to 50 to 75. Although our educational institutions and have well over 100
employees or staff,
and staff there. So. Various sizes.
Is this a new phenomenon or somewhat recent? It seems to me that a lot of times you hear these incredible revenues, but when you look at the employee numbers, it's relatively few. I attribute that to technology, right?
Technology has made a big time difference. In every business.
And also where they can outsource a lot of stuff, where they can do people can work remotely or they can assign tasks to folks. So on staff, it's crazy. They could be doing 10, 15 million and have just a handful of employees, right?
Well, there's a variety now, and with some of the changes in the healthcare law, has been a movement to a lot of part time or flex time people that works both from a positive standpoint.
Oh, yeah,
my daughter's in that business, so she likes it a lot to provide temporary employees for businesses.
Yeah. Right. So on our end, for our third, fourth quarter, if you will, so we're looking at launching some new shows. We have Georgia Business Radio. This Friday's coming live to the studio. We're going to be talking to from everywhere, from startups to media moguls to business icons, college universities, a lot of B2B conversations. But we're looking at bringing in the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau from the trade and hotel and trade show perspective. Medical shows on the horizon, obviously thought leaders. So if you know any of those folks up on our whiteboard, we'd love to have conversations with them. And actually this week, our inaugural show is going to be Ryan McPherson is going to be taking over the reins on that one there.
Right.
And you're going to be talking to it's kind of industry leaders in the food industry leaders. Right.
Right?
So some pretty high profile people from there. And we're going to be having a Franchise Business Radio taking over here in April. Maybe International Trade Radio, maybe CEO Roundtable Radio, maybe BBA Radio. We're, anything, add radio to it. We're all aboard. Yeah.
Well, one of my partners can talk to you about colleges and universities, and I'll volunteer him.
Okay. Nice. It's a done deal.
He knows a lot.
Write that down, Ryan. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, pleasure having you here. Remind our listeners one more time, the best way to find out about your products, your services, your widgets, and you.
O'NeillCommunications.com.
All right.
Or you can just call me, 404-310-6188.
Love that.
And we're Metcalf-Davis.com. Metcalf-Davis.com.
And for the BBA folks?
Oh, it's BBA.com.
Really? Just
BBA? .org. BBA.org.
Okay, yeah.
BBA.org.
All right. And nice. For me, it's LinkedIn is the best way. And Sam Tandon at LinkedIn.com. And you can also get me on my phone, 404- 551-2142. I love to help people start up ideas or, you know, just being a mentor. That's what my passion is. And out of the box thinking. That's nice. What I say.
And your home address? One more time.
Okay.
We'll see you all next time on Buckhead Business Radio X. This has been a special episode of CEO Roundtable. Rich Casanova here, your co-host, along with Ryan McPherson. See you next time.